Welcome to Dig a Little Deeper, the Core Safety Interview Series brought to you by the National Mining Association. Now, here's your host, Nelson Duffel.
We're talking today with Dr. Michael Karmus. Dr. Karmus is the Stony Barker Professor of the Department of Mining and Minerals Engineering and the Director of the Virginia Center for Coal and Energy Research at Virginia Tech. His expertise is in the areas of mine design, ground control, carbon sequestration, sustainable development of energy and mineral resources, and, of course, health and safety, which is what we will be talking about with him today. Dr. Karmus, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
In the interest of just kind of jumping right into this, I wanted to find out how the management of safety and health in the mining industry at large has changed over time. You've been involved with this for many years, so what have you seen in that regard?
Yes, there has been actually a total paradigm shift. Our traditional approach to health and safety was more of a programmatic, reactive type of approach based on two frameworks, the regulatory controls that were there and the engineering controls. And this particular model led to a significant improvement in health and safety. Until we all reached a point, I think the discussion started maybe at the very late 1990s and early 2000, where it was apparent to many that this particular model reached the plateau that requires something totally different to get to the next level. So people then began to ask, what is it that is missing? If we follow the regulations, if we have the engineering controls, what is missing that we still do have fatalities and incidents and accidents in the mine? So there was necessary to develop, in addition to those two controls, something different that can encompass everything and lead us to something by far more proactive, something that basically is based on developing processes and systems, in other words, ongoing live efforts rather than finite programs. And at the end of the day, the decision was by everybody that what we need is to emphasize the leadership, the culture, which is within the organization, the prevailing force that is moving the organization forwards, and processes such as continuous improvement and risk management that we can get all together a total engagement process where from the board and the CEO to the miner, everybody is working to develop better processes, develop new systems, develop interventions if they have to be, but there is not really an end to this process. What it is an ongoing continuous improvement process. So that led basically to the term that we all use today, health and safety management systems or processes. So this was basically what was lacking from what we had before and what it is the driving force of what we're doing right now.
Do you feel that then, as you say, it truly has been a paradigm shift over what period of time? How long has this been taking place?
People, and I must say some companies like all other industries, may have been ahead of others since the late 1990s, but in the early 2000, that became by far a much more important and much more focused effort. And of course, a number of accidents that occurred, very tragic accidents and events, particularly in the coal industry in this country, somehow promulgated that effort to develop what we're going to talk later, the Core Safety Program, which is basically one of the best that I've ever seen health and safety management system. What I like about this, it is a broad-based concept that we need for all types of mining industries and communities, and it is based on successful experiences by other industries and other people. We have had considerable thinking going on for some years before we reached the maturity, if you will, and the recognition via some of the tragic events that this health and safety management system or process needs to be implemented, a necessary pillar over and above regulatory and engineering controls.
How do you think that the National Mining Association's Core Safety Initiative aligns with the implementation of these safety and health management systems that we're seeing in mining companies today?
The entire mining industry via NMA developed really an exemplary kind of health and safety management systems, which is basically the core safety system, as it is termed, because I think it is based in simple terms, is based on the plan, do, and check model. In other words, it emphasizes what I said a little bit earlier on, the fact that you need to have certain components are primary in order to develop a proper health and safety managing system, and the core safety is based on leadership, and leadership drives culture within the organization. Is based on management, which is basically responsible for the systems, including risk management, and assurance. That means performance is measured, is monitored, is assessed, is audited, and then continuous improvement can come back, and that way you repeat the cycle. What was unique, I think, about this is that it collected and somehow encompassed best practices, some of which were existing practices, but they were scattered, if you will, within the realm of safety and management and what have you, but it was able to collect best practices and develop some new ones to form core program, right? A core process, if you will, as soon as you say program, that is based, in my view, on leadership, management, and assurance. And leadership is a tremendously important aspect because it is the board and the CEO who defines the culture of the company for the organization. And I think the support, acceptance, and in a way, creation of this core safety with the engagement of all the CEOs of the large mining companies, I think underlines the importance of leadership in trying to do this. And setting goals, challenging goals, like the 055 that you have on zero fatalities, 50% reduction in 5 years, is also something, because goals should be high and goals should be reached with proper planning and proper commitment. So I think it is a wonderful program. It aligns all implementations of health and safety aspects that are out there. It's really based and feeds on the leadership and culture of the organization, the management and responsibility within the organization, and the fact that we all recognize whatever we do can always be improved. And that's where the assurance comes through. So this is really quite, in my view, unique program.
With regard to that, let's talk a little bit specifically then about risk identification and risk management.
Risk management's role is basically to identify hazards, to assess the risk, develop control options, and most importantly, identify responsibility for managing that risk. You usually, what you do then, you do under the risk management perform an exercise where people throughout various levels of the organization participate to look at a particular risk or a particular program, and they do something that we sometimes refer to as a risk registry, which means we are, as I said before, identifying the risk. Let's take a particular mining operation, ground control, would identify the risk, would identify the hazards, the probabilities, how do you minimize the risk, how you eliminate the risk if you can, and all the way who is responsible for taking some leadership in dealing with this particular risk. The risk management, and that sometimes escapes folks, is not necessarily there, in fact, is not at all there to replace other issues, for example, the regulatory controls or the engineering controls. What it does is it emphasizes the risk component of a particular operation and the way to deal with it. And that actually is very, very important. Some mining countries are a little bit farther ahead than others, Australia being a good example, but also some mining companies are better than others, and I think everybody's learning. But the importance of the risk management is, to me, that brings various people and disciplines, entities within the organization to look critically at a particular issue, and through that critical review. It is amazing when you get experiences of people, when you get solutions from people, how well you can identify what may go wrong, the probability of going wrong, how you can reduce or eliminate, and how you can manage. So risk management is an important component of a health and safety management system.
The last thing I'd like to speak with you about, Dr. Karmas, is just based on your experience, where do you see safety and health management systems evolving to over the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years? Can we project out that far?
Yes, we can, and I think we can go even farther than that, and I'm quite involved on a number of issues and studies on this, so I'll give you even a longer perspective. If you look at the health and safety, let's say, next decade and even beyond, we will still have engineering controls, meaning we need to still do better engineering or do innovations and what have you. We will still have regulations, and we still will have health and safety management systems. Hopefully what we have developed now, it can continue and improve. You and I know that a mine of today may not be the same as the mine of 10 years, or the next 10 years or 15 years. You are amazed as you go to a mine and see the technological changes, the controls, the automation that has happened just in 10 years. So if you look at it from this perspective, then you have to see how this mine of the future is going to be impacted. And I usually see two issues that one needs to think, what I would call the hard or the technical issue, and then there is the soft issue. The technical issue is this. Mines in general were going to tend to be deeper. Seams, if you talk about coal, will be thinner, potentially. Grade of ores could be lower. And all these lead to a technological revolution within mining to ensure that you can do an increased scale mining, meaning mining by far more material. We are already doing automation, but I think from automation we'll move to autonomous units, at least for certain parts of the operation, which means now we're introducing some new areas which are not necessarily prominent right now. Number one, the human-machine interaction is going to become by far more important as we move on. Secondly, we already monitor a lot in our mines, but if you look at it into the future, 10 years from now, a mine will be totally instrumented with sensors, controls, and monitors. We'll have a humongous amount of data, and somebody said at one time, and I thoroughly appreciate this, that we're living in an age where we are data-rich but information poor, meaning we have these millions of data, nobody knows exactly what is important, what it is not, what is actionable, what is not. So basically, we need to change the productivity of the mines based on new technological developments. This is the one part. The softer part has to do with how the mining industry involves and deals with the local communities, issues of responsibility, transparency, and post-mining land usage. Some of the international companies talk about issues, of course, with indigenous people and remote locations. So in essence, over and above the technical issues, you have what we usually term the social license to operate. So basically, you got to pay attention when you look at the mine of the future to two issues. Technology that will lead to better productivity, and also, if you don't have a license to mine or a social license, you won't be there in the first place. But I believe something like $25 billion of mining projects are stagnating either because of community or government or both opposition to a particular project. If you look at the technical advancements that are expected to be done in the next 10 years, and if you look at also the community aspects of this over the next 10 years, what you see is that health and safety basically crosses both the question of productivity, because underlines productivity basically, but also the question of social life. I think we will get fairly soon into an era that our workforce both white and blue collar workforce, everybody from the miner to the engineers to the managers, will have greater sensitivities to the communities. They will need to have different skills, and they will need to be able to operate in a different mining environment. The way we, let's say, train people in skills and how we teach them or what we teach them, all the way to how we educate and train mining engineers at the academic level, all of those will have to be changed quite a bit to reflect where the industry goes. The mine of the future is a concept maybe from 10 to 20 years, but we need to be preparing now. We need to be cognizant of the fact that the mining industry also is moving, and is moving via technology and via culture and via community well-being approaches, and health and safety is not going to change, but health and safety has to be able to adapt and somehow implement in a different way.
Last question that I have for you would just be, is there anything that you might say or suggest to a mining company that isn't currently using core safety as a component or an element of it, their SHMS?
I would suggest that they take advantage of the tremendous information that NMA has collected, and I should point out, make freely available to everybody under the core safety initiative that includes manuals and workbooks and explain processes very well. They should definitely try to implement. I know NMA has been very helpful in this regard. And at the end of the day, make an assessment. Try this and then make a comparison of where they were versus where they can go using a core safety sort of based approach. And I think they will see significant differences. Now, it may be that someone already does or has a program that has all these great components. It may be that somebody actually is doing core safety, although, you know, it doesn't term it like this. But in most cases, many more companies can actually gain tremendous insight and actually very good results by embracing the core safety process developed by NMA. And let me also add something from a selfish perspective, that NMA has made all the material available to us at the university level. We use actually quite a bit of the core safety on our health and safety classes. And through, again, the organization, we have also had access to people, speakers, lecturers, and others that can come to enhance the student experience on safety. So I think it's important to note that all that material and all that work that has gone on has been made available to everybody, not just the mining companies, but to us as well.
Thank you very much for your time today, Dr. Garmus. We appreciate
it. You've been listening to Dig a Little Deeper, the Core Safety Interview Series from the National Mining Association. For more information, please visit our website at coresafety.org.